I would tell you that we're going to get up and move around a lot, but I know that then, as soon as you do that, many times just people jot out. And so we will be doing some activities, but it's going to be a turn and talk, because if you just stand here and listen to me the whole time, that's not great instruction. So I want to be able to get you interacting, sharing some ideas, but also just wanting to share ideas with you. I am somebody who feels very passionate about what we do at the Michigan Assessment Consortium. And it's also something that I'm very passionate about, professional learning. And I said Jim Pellegrino just set me up great when he had that theory of learning in that gray area, and how important that piece is to help our educators move forward. And when I talk about educators, I'm talking about all educators. This is titled Non-Tenured Teacher Community of Practice, but this also will include, it can't only be this. We have to start with our administrators at the top, and we have to work with administrators and teacher leaders. So we'll kind of look at the various processes that we have done in Reese Puffer. I recently retired from Reese Puffer, and some people say I'm failing at retirement because here's where I'm at, but it's something I truly enjoy and believe is important and really can make a difference. So today, we'd like to find out who's in the room. So if the following statement describes you, say, just like me, you can stand up or raise your hand. What do you guys want to do? Raise your hand or stand up? Just raise your hand. Okay. All right, so if you're an assessment director or coordinator, please just raise your hand. That's about half of you. All right, I'm a building administrator. Okay, double hats here too. I'm a district office administrator. All right. And how about you're a teacher? Excellent. Excellent. I'm an instructional content area, professional development, whatever you are, at an intermediate or a RESA. We have a few of you. All right. I'm a state-level director or consultant. All right. I knew Dan was here, so great. And then who did I miss? Besides, how many of you wear more than one hat? Okay. Is there anybody I missed in the room? College professors? All right. Here we go. Just a little bit about myself. I am representing the Michigan Assessment Consortium today. I have been on the board for about 10 years. It's something I'm very passionate about. It was something that my background provided me lots of experiences, but it didn't really get, except for my special education coursework, down to how do I actually use assessment to drive instruction. So I was a teacher, a team teacher, a special ed teacher consultant, building level administrator. I was a director of teaching and learning for Kent ISD for a number of years. And I ended my career at a K-12 district. What I kept hearing through the professional development at Kent is, but we don't have somebody at our district who does that. But how do we get more information on that? How do we learn about this? Those types of things, besides just having us from the ISD continuously come in. So I decided that when I retired, that I would be able to support the MAC just in ways that can help spread, how can we do this within a district? When I heard those calls, you know, how do I do this? Again, mine is far from perfect, but it is an example of how I went about doing this to see if we truly could make the types of changes that a district may need to make. So, the Michigan Assessment Consortium is a 503C. We're not selling you things, so please know that. This is from the heart. This is about a passion, about helping Michigan educators help those who they influence. So that is our goal, is to improve assessment that will help improve the instruction and our student learning. So when I talk about the MAC, just I always like to say that, because as soon as I know somebody's a company, I just want to go like this, because it's like we want to sell you anything. And I have, that is my own personal issue that I have. But the thing I love about the MAC is what I'm going to show you here, 90%+ is all available to you at no charge. So if you are a member, you do get some of the full-length presentations, but there's always the learning moments that we'll kind of go in, and I'll show you those today. But the mission, how do we do our to improve student learning and achievement through a system of coherent curriculum, balanced assessment, and effective instruction? We do this collaboratively. We work with other organizations, we work with the locals, but our whole goal is, how do we promote assessment, knowledge, and practice? How many of you in your graduate courses, or if you're working with teachers in your building, how many of them are having assessment courses that teach them not about just the specifics you're going to give assessments, and you need to follow the protocols, but truly, what do I do with the assessment once I'm done? How many of you have had courses like that? Okay, we have two hands. We have a problem. We're being held accountable for things that people don't have the knowledge or skills. So even though this is talking about, the community of practice for non-tenure, it also has to start with your administrators, and we're going to talk about that as well. We also do provide some professional learning. If you're out at the MAC site, we have a summer institute. Like, if you feel like you need some more knowledge yourself, you can go to that. You can have a team that goes to that. But we also produce and share assessment tools and resources free of charge. And so I'm going to give you a sampling. How many people have been on the MAC website? Only about 8 of you. What I will do is, I'm not going to take the time to show you that, but if we end a couple minutes early and or if I'll stay after and show you where to find all of these materials if you're interested, or if we end early, I'm happy to do that. But how many of you have the assessment literacy standards? Okay, I'm going to take a stack here. If you already have one, you can have another one, or save it for somebody here in the room who needs them. We'll just take them and pass them back. If we don't have enough, we can go out to the MAC table and we'll get them. We'll get some more for you. I can text Carrie and she'll run them up to us. So this is where the MAC really started to say, well, if we're going to help people, what are we going to do to help them? So these assessment literacy standards were really about our beliefs, our dispositions, beliefs, knowledge and skills that one must have to help in that process. So within here, there are specific standards related to students and their parents. It's about teachers and administrators. It's about policymakers. And some of the things are similar and some are very different. This right here, from a local district perspective, when we found an area of need, then I would bring this out and talk about, this is one of the components we need to build in our group. Not, here's all of these, and we're going to have a session on A, B, C, D, E. No. This was about, how can I help where the greatest need is? So this was a frame of reference that I did not help create. There was a committee who did that, but it's something that definitely helps us understand all of the components, sometimes in a negative way, to say, holy crap, I don't know a lot of these things. And so we will talk about the assessment literacy standards, and throughout the different professional learning sessions that I did, these were a part of those components. So the materials that can be used to help you. The assessment literacy standards, there's also a link. When you get the PowerPoint, you can download it. It will take you directly to the assessment literacy standards on the MAC webpage. So you can download just a PDF of it as well. We also have learning points. Have you seen things that look like this? Okay, these are what we're going to be using here today. But these are learning points. And there are a ton of them based on various concepts. So those are available to you as well. There's something that's not, it will give you a description on our website, but then it will take you out to MVU, that are like level one. How do I gain this information? If I'm supposed to lead this, how am I supposed to get the information? And these modules are out there, and you can get sketches for them. And they're short courses. And there's 9 different courses that are out there. And I did write this down somewhere. See if it's in this one. Yep. I'll just name the ones I can remember. But there's one on building formative assessment, the use of the formative assessment with the FAME process. You know, we have them on creating that balanced assessment system. It's on 21st century learning. How about collaborative inquiry? All of those components are in these various modules. The reason why I point those modules out is because with the modules, that's where I took the content from to be able to utilize in the various workshops that I did with administrators, with teacher leaders, with content area groups, with the non-tenure group. So those online modules give you a great background and resources in which you can use. If you're always the person standing up in front of people, it's kind of like you, rah, rah, rah. They've heard it, they know this is your passion. But when you can use another voice, another national expert, because in these modules, national experts helped us in the creating and used part of their materials within here. So to be able to pull up something that has Jim Pellegrino's message in there to share out is a great thing to be able to use in a mini session with somebody. And then we have the Assessment Learning Network. How many of you have heard about the Assessment Learning Network? Just a couple. That is it's a group across the state where we bring in some national experts. There's information at the MAC table that can give you more information about that. But we have those national experts who come in and talk about specific topics that can help move the state as a whole forward. And those can range from 30 to 200 people at those sessions, depending on what the topic is. So there's a link to some of the things that we have available on the website. There's some curated materials. If you're looking for just assessment of learning, you can click there and it will list a bunch of things that have already been pre-populated into those categories. And then content and ideas from today, I hope, will help you as well. So here, this piece right here, there's not going to be enough for you, but I am going to do this. I want to just minimize this for a minute. All right. Here we go. There are some of these up here. We went based on the number of people who were going to be here today. So I'll just hand out some at the beginning here. We'll go back, but I'll make sure I also get some in the back. But this is available on the download. I included all of this stuff as well. So I'm going to, a couple of these here. There's definitely not going to be enough, but I'm going to show it to you here, and it is available in a download. But this is just a sample plan. This is the plan in the thought process that we had to help, here's some more here, move our educators in our system through Reese Puffer. So instead of listing it right here, I put it in here. Why did we do this work? We did this work because we knew that building a common understanding in the area that is missing in many teachers' toolkits was really important. We can't ask people to be held accountable to things that they don't understand. So we also wanted to support leaders so that they can help the staff. That's why I said this is about community of practice, but if we don't start with our administrators can't help support or monitor anything if they don't understand it themselves. So what is it that we can do? We also need, there's a lot of confusion around assessment of and for. And, you know, it's kind of like the confusion around learning targets. Sometimes when you're in it every day, you wonder, how can this still be a concern? But in the area in which I was working, it still was a concern. So we want to be able to educate the whole community about why it's important. We want to develop those common practices. We want to ensure that they understand the whole formative assessment process, not just, yep, I do thumbs up, thumbs down to the side, whatever that is, or I may take exit tickets. If you don't do anything with that information, it's not formative assessment. we have to help them understand you must do something with it to be a part of that process. Also, we need to support effective changes in grading practices. And I know from my perspective, it's much easier K-6 than it is 6-12, you know, depending on the configuration of your buildings. But that is an important piece of what we were working on. We also need to help increase student understanding so that they will engage in their own learning. How many of us have our students who just want to sit and give me the information? We know that that's not how we learn. And that's why I hate setups like this, because that's not how we learn. But we want to ensure that effective use of the correct data is used to drive instruction. We have to look at the purpose behind that assessment, and does it match what we're trying to do with it? And if not, we're misusing the data. So who did we do this with? Administrative team, we did it with school board members. Now, I was there for 7 years, so these are things that I did over time, and the one group that was always consistent was the administrative team and the teacher leaders. So content area data teams, every time we had a data conversation, instructional coaches, building level teams, ancillary staff, community members, students, higher ed institutes, you know, these are people that need this information. And then when did we do it? We did it with administrative team meetings. We did it in mini retreats. If you call it a retreat, it's fun, right? Mm-hmm. I always brought food. I always gave something away. But we also had a summer learning institute in Reese Puffer that I developed that, I mean, we had hundreds and hundreds of days of professional learning in the summer, whether it was internal, whether it was external. I can afford to send you external if it's not during the school year. So we also had opening day, other professional learning, PLC time, newsletters, blah, blah, blah. So those are all different ways in which we did this. And there's more. And then what did we use? I used a lot of the MAC materials, to be honest with you. They're easy. They're not so technical that people get afraid of them. They actually engage with them. We participated in some of the state-level MAC Reads. How many of you know what MAC Reads is? No one? Okay, a couple people. MAC Reads, we pick a book every year, and we work with that author. We put out some book study, I mean some like a study guide to do with it, and then that author comes and talks to us through a Zoom where we can have conversations where we can have with the author. And every year, it's somebody different. Last year, it was Jim Popham, Assessment Literacy for Busy Educators. This year it's going to be Ken O'Connor with grading. And so these are the pieces and materials. And again, you guys will have access to this. So now I'm going to go back to the presentation here real quick. Any questions on that while I'm switching here? Just taking it all in? All right. Now it's your turn. So please don't leave. I'm just kidding. All right. We're going to do a jigsaw reading. So I have three different groups here. And if you don't want to move, then I will just assign. But if there are people who want to be in a specific group, I really want to know more about just assessment systems, that kind of information. Otherwise, I'm going to assign the first two rows. That's what you guys are going to read. Okay? Otherwise, there's a formative assessment set of sections here, and then there's questioning, feedback, and building agency. So as we read those, what you're going to do is there are 5 or 6 articles inside your packet, and what we're going to ask you to do is pick one of those articles with those around you to read the one article, to find two to three different things that you can share back about your article. So by the time you leave in this 10 to 15 minutes after the session is done, that you would have information about 5 different articles. Now, if you said, well, I really want both of those, go to the MAC thing. We have hundreds of these out there. They'll just give them to you. So is there anybody who feels like I want to be in the assessment group versus formative assessment versus questioning and feedback? You too? All right. Anyone else? Otherwise, you might have to move when it comes time, if you're all right with that. Yep. I know how at conferences people hate to move. I don't know why, but we're here to get. We work hard all the time. So here's an assessment. How about formative assessment? Okay. I'll give some formative assessment back here. There you go. And then we'll share some there. If there are not enough of these handouts, those are formative as well. If there's not, what you'll do is just rip one off and be able to share an article that you're not reading, and you can go back out and get some more. This is not a very efficient way, but again, the setup here is not the best, but we'll do what we can do. How many people do not have them? All right, so we may run out here, so what we may do is ask you to separate them and pick one of the articles, okay? What was that? I don't even know what it is now. So that's about questioning and feedback. So does everybody have one? No. All right. So I'm going to do this. You wanted formative? Okay. Is there somebody who has the formative packet that's willing to give one of those away? I'm going to give these to you guys. Is there a formative that you can split one of your packets real quick so I can make sure somebody has? Thank you. There you go. Yep, she took one. All right. Everybody have an article? Nope. Can I take one of those, please? You don't have one back there either. Okay. I'll give you that. Here we go. Yep. All right. One more back here. Sorry about that. We made extra, but we have more people, which is a great thing. So what I'd like you to do for the next couple of minutes is I would like you to pick one of those articles in your packet and read that and find about 3 points that you can share back out. And we will get up at the end of this and we'll say, anybody who had something that was basically around the assessment, you're going to come up here and you're going to have a huddle and just share what you learned in those articles. So that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to be quiet for the next few minutes. I will set a timer to make sure we're not too long. If you don't get all the way through, that's okay. Share up to that point what you've done. Hi. You need some? You know what? I have, what was that? Let's see. I have more of these in my bag. You can have that. There's more out at the MAC table. Here we go. I always carry extra. So. That one's grading. How about questioning?
I need the
feedback.
Whatever you had on it. They have that.
Oh, that one right there? You know what? It is available on the download. Okay. So if I didn't write all over mine, which I did, but at the end, if you my email's on there, I will email it to you.
But it's on there.
It's on the website. Everything I had was on the website. Our goal was to be able to give you at least a little bit of time to read one of them if you have not read them, and hopefully you were able to read one you've not yet read. Because every time I go to another meeting, there's like, oh, there's 6 more of them. It was like, really? How did I not know this? You know? So good thing I meet with them regularly, because I'm always finding something new. Some of the brand new ones that are not in your packet deal with grading for learning. It has some items about what is formative feedback from the teacher versus peers. There are some about questioning. What's a skillful use of questions? So those are some of the brand new ones that came out. Now, because we didn't have enough materials and we kind of spread around, if you were around, you have something related to assessment, just raise your, they're all assessment, but the general topic of assessment, not formative and not about questioning, okay? If you guys could just move over in this area and have a conversation, be really loud so they can't hear on that wall. That's our accommodation. We'll get back. And then who had more of the formative assessment pieces? So more towards the back. So why don't you guys huddle back there? And the rest, please just join in the middle, whether you stand in the middle of the aisle and just have a conversation. Share a couple of things that you found in your particular article. So go ahead. And we're going to give you about 8 minutes in which to have this, 5 to 8 minutes in this conversation. I'll check in at 5. You guys can stand up, you can sit, however you want to do that.
So what section is the first section?
I apologize. But, you know, really doing all of that, like taking all those pieces together and doing that intervention piece. You know, and so it's just one piece of the puzzle.
Exactly. And if people don't know that, they use a piece of a puzzle to think that that's the whole picture. Mm-hmm. And that's when we're hurting kids and educators. So we have to educate people so that we stop doing what's happening. And, again, working with legislators to say, you have to think about some of the decisions that you make.
And just one more thought. If you see a big chunk, right, if you're doing the devils assessment, for example, and first grade, you have a big chunk of kids are behind, then you go back to kindergarten and say, hey, it looks like we are not ready for this. And so you won't even have to have that conversation next year at that time in first grade.
Or we get to something like the maze and all of our kids have gone down. Well, obviously we're not working on some comprehension things here that we need to, as a whole group, right, we have to look at all of the data. So if you would thank your partners and come back, I would appreciate it. Again, as we go back to our seats, I'm just going to remind us proximity, right? You know, this is the best thing, and I love it when it happens in classrooms when kids will not stop talking about something that's really important. And so there is no apologies needed. You know, if you were back in your seats in 2 minutes, then that means that it wasn't of value to you. So of the articles, if there's just any ahas of what maybe you came across, or an aha as to how might I use the article or one of the articles that were talked about with some of my school leaders, teachers, my colleagues, whatever that is, or your Board of Education. Is there anything that just popped up that said, ah, this is needed for? Specific, yeah?
In terms of moving the student learning forward,
yes.
Instead of words like growth, numbers,
right. Because if we have all of those numbers and data, that's great. But if we don't do anything with it, it's worthless. So somebody at the district office may look at it as, oh, here's some trends, and then they bring upon, because there's nothing that's being brought up from the bottom. But sometimes we have to look at having those voices and understanding more about this to realize this isn't something that we're trying to do. This is something we're trying to educate so we can stop what's happening. So being able to help build skills in a very short time. These are great at staff meetings because that was a 15-minute activity right there. And that was moving people who didn't know one another. So it's one of those items that I think these are one of the greatest resources for short conversations that you need to have. And again, if you didn't get the articles, go out to the MAC table. What you see there, if you tell them that you're in this session, you would like other articles possibly, they will pick one of every one and give them to you if you ask for it. Okay? So just stop by. Again, there's no charge for any of this. So now I'm going to talk about what I tried to do in building this assessment literate culture with ongoing professional learning. So that key of ongoing professional learning is critical. So if we think it's a once and done, we'll never get anywhere. And that's where it's hard when you send people out for all your assessment. When administrators are not there either, there's not the common language or learning. So we try to do this through a variety of things. So I started with our administrative team because I felt if our administrators don't know, then they can't help those who are trying to do new work. And they won't understand the reason why they're trying to do that new work. So I always started with administrators as like we need to build their knowledge. Then we went to administrative team, and then who are your building leaders who can come together? Because just because the principal comes out and says, oh, here's an article we're going to read, oh, here goes another thing. So, but when it's your colleague saying, hey, we read this article, I think it would be really good for our group, then you're starting to get some of that spreading without the fear that this is something being done to them. Because the more knowledge we have, the better we can fend for ourselves in a way that understanding this isn't the appropriate purpose for this assessment. So then I worked with targeted groups like our early release, our K-4, were ready for some things. So we allowed them some time to really grapple with this, especially right before we implemented a new reading series so that we could teach into that series about what this looks like. And again, we can't just gather the data. We have to do something with it. So what does that look like? How do we do that? What can we do to support you with that? How do I work with your group to say, how do we work with the group, the students that are at different levels? So we also had summer institutes where we read books collaboratively. In a summer institute, I never paid anyone to come. It was all voluntary. But we had, seriously, in the 800-900 days every summer that people did things, whether they went somewhere or it was internal. If there was a grade level team who said we needed to work on something, then they could come together and I would support them through that work. And then the non-tenured staff, which is what this was about. So I'm going to share some of these ideas with you. So with the administrative learning team, we focused on formative assessment because we know that that was, unfortunately, the 5D rubric. All of the rubrics were meant to say, here's what good instruction is, but now it's being used to evaluate people. Wrong purpose, again. So what is it that we can do to help people understand the formative assessment process? Yeah, I had that mentioned in my grad class, you know, when I talked to non-tenure, and it was like, yeah, I think they talked about that, but they don't have any knowledge. And so we're asking people to do things that they don't have. So these sessions, again, starting with the administrators, how can we help make this happen? This one happens to be the administrator and the teacher leaders, but talking about defining formative assessment. So the article, who had defining formative assessment? Somebody had it in here, a few of you did. That was the article that we started with. So we had some common vocabulary, some common understanding. Then I used the module from MVU, the formative assessment module, and I took screenshots and live video from there to put into my presentations. So with that, then it's not me telling you from the research, it's what the researchers are telling us we need to do. You know, how do we use high leverage strategies? What are high leverage strategies? Is round robin reading in your small group a good use of your 20 minutes that you have with that group? Or is there a better thing to do? So we highlighted some articles like what constitutes a high-quality balanced assessment system, because many people would say, well, we test so much. Well, are our assessments aligned? What can we get rid of? And it's what Jim Pellegrino talked about, this, the three C's. You know, is it coherent? Is it continuous? Is it, I'm losing it, coherence? Well, it's right here. It's comprehensive, and the MAC has a form right here that helps you with the comprehensive piece. It is also continuous and coherent. So I don't know why I couldn't remember those right now. But those are the three C's. And to put your assessment plan together around those to make sure everything is in alignment, we could reduce some things of what we were doing because they were testing the same things. So it also allowed people to understand why we were doing things. None of us like to be told to do something, but if we always start with the why, it helps people understand the purpose of why we're doing it, and they're more apt to engage in the process. All right. So, and then another component of that, on a different day, we dealt with the whole formative assessment process and the graphic of the formative assessment process on the MDE site. What do we really mean by formative assessment? Was an article that we reread with some new learning so that we could say, now having this extra piece, is there something else that we could put together? Because once and done never works. If these are multiple weeks apart, you need to review just like our students. Something that's new, review, add on. We also looked at learning targets and some video examples of what good learning targets are and how they could be used, and also more articles. And then Dylan Williams has a great video inside of the module talking about ego versus evaluative. You know, am I saying you're a great student, or am I working on, here's an area that I noticed that is a trend within your work. Here's something that we need to work on. Versus, yeah, you did a great job. That doesn't tell a student anything. So, but we hear it all the time. So with our non-tenure practice, I did the same type of thing. So we sprinkled ideas at their orientation, but then we brought in, it was supposed to be four sessions last year, but it turned into three because of Snowmageddon. In all of our snow days, we just kept trying to reschedule everything. But what we wanted to do is to bring that group of teachers together. There are new staff in the district. If we can educate from the bottom up and from the top down, we're going to get there in a quicker fashion. And not in a forced fashion. It has to fit with what they need to do. So here is kind of what we did with our non-tenure community of practice, was that, you know, we talked about becoming an assessment literate community and how important it is for us to be having these conversations with one another and talking about what are the practices at the different levels and what are really working for us. We, for this piece as well, we used the norms of collaboration from Adaptive Schools so that we knew how to have those conversations and pause and rephrase, and so that we knew that we're teaching something, and then we talked about how might you use these norms back in your classroom. So it was very intentional. Everything we used was how can you use this back in your classroom. And there was always time to do that conversion back to the classroom to make sure that it was meaningful. If you're giving up a 4:30 to 6:30 and you're getting pizza or subs for the night, you know, for dinner, you need something more than just that to come and to stay. But we wanted people to have a purpose and something that they could take back and immediately use. We did different articles, a jigsaw, like we just did here. Because then you can walk away. They all walked away with all of the articles, but they were an expert in one area at a surface level that they could share back with others. And then understanding the difference between assessment of and for learning. Just because we say it's a formative assessment practice, if we're not doing something with the data, it's summative. You have to do something with it for it to truly be formative. So otherwise, you're not. The whole point is for informing something you're going to do differently. We did some things with clear learning targets and sharing those items. We read some more learning points, and we actually connected it to the 5D rubric because that's what people are fearful of right now. And instead of looking at it as a fearful thing, talk about why that was really developed and how these are best practice instructional strategies and what are we looking at here and how does that connect? Why are we doing this? What might that look like in your classroom? So this one on the 21st century, we asked them to commit, this one was a formative assessment, sorry. Asked them to commit to do one thing and bring back to the next session. And then they, if there was somebody in their building, they could talk to them and say, hey, can you help me be accountable for this? Can we meet next Tuesday or a month from now? And can I share before I bring it back here? So we always then started the next session sharing out what we learned. And I always sent something a few days in advance. Just a reminder, we're going to start our session with something that you said you were going to start with. Just like our kids, if we never bring it back, it's not going to be done, especially if it's not tomorrow. So that was like our first session. Our second one, we really went to the 21st century learning and what a classroom should look like today. I don't know if it's anything in your area that mentors get selected because they've been there the longest many times. Okay? Those aren't always who we want. Sometimes it's the exact person we want. But just because you've been there for that amount of time doesn't mean that you're the best mentor for that particular teacher. So we have to look at how do we do that. But all of the mentors were also invited to the sessions. So very few mentors showed up, but there were other people in the district who were not mentoring somebody said, hey, I don't know this stuff. Can I come to it? Sure. This is open to anybody. And so by not forcing it upon people, and that seems like who would ever do that? But we had a culture there that this was around learning. And I was the safest person in the district because I evaluated nobody but my administrative assistant. Okay, you know what? What you come and we talk about is to help you improve. I'm not evaluating you. So what is it that I can do to help you? We talked about, again, we always brought it back to connections. I don't know if this video will work, but I'm going to try. So this one from Assessment for Learning. Yes. No, it's not going to take me there. Here's just a learning moment that I had talked about earlier. This one's a 4-minute on how other countries organize their thinking. We'll see if the internet works. Cool. It would help if I showed it to you. Let me stop this for a second. Let me go back to my PowerPoint and slideshow. Now you see it. All right. It gives you a moment to read.
Well, let's start with the term formative assessment. I mean, that was a term coined in the 60s by Michael Scriven as a way to differentiate assessment that occurred during learning as opposed to after learning, which has a more summative function. So the formative-summative distinction was made early and was developed further by Mary Jane Drummond, who first introduced the term assessment for learning, a British researcher. And that was really an effort to push the concept of formative assessment much further. And so the same distinctions apply. Assessment for learning happens during learning. Assessment of learning has a more summative purpose, where you're summing up or gauging the achievement of students relative to specific outcomes after a period of learning. The way that assessment for learning is conceptualized in other countries is beginning to be how formative assessment is conceptualized here in the United States. But specifically, when the term was first coined, the idea was that assessment was integrated into teaching and learning day by day. And that the students were invited to understand the aims of their learning, the targets, the goals, whatever you call them, so that they were involved in the process. And the main function of assessment for learning is to inform learning as it's developing, both from the teacher perspective and the student perspective, with feedback as being the central mechanism. So assessment for learning really pushed the idea beyond the notion of formative assessment as assessment that you can use during learning, and embraced the idea of student involvement and ways to maximize learning through the use of feedback. So that's really why they conceptualize learning as assessment for learning, because it encompasses the set of practices. Now, the United States, and particularly through the formative assessment SCAS, and Michigan has adopted the formative assessment SCAS definition, has really embraced the idea of formative assessment being about feedback. It's being about learners, that learners are understanding the aims of their learning, what the purpose is, what they're learning, how they'll know if they've learned it, and feedback as really core to the whole process. Feedback that teachers get from observing learning, engaging in dialogue with students, the feedback that students get from teachers and peers, and of course from their own self-assessment. So that the term assessment for learning was developed really to encompass this broader set of practices. And now what you hear in the United States is people referring to formative assessment practices. So although it's not the term assessment for learning hasn't been widely adopted, nonetheless, the conceptualization of formative assessment in this country has evolved to really encompass what the assessment for learning conceptualization began, how that began to frame assessment for learning as integrated into ongoing classroom practice.
So those are the learning points that I referenced earlier. Whoops, that's not what I was trying to do, obviously. All right, so let me just minimize this. I've always had a PC until just recently, and I went to a Mac, and now I'm back here, and it's like, all right, where's everything at? So it is from current slide. All right. So those learning points, it's nice to have a 3-minute video that summarizes, now have a conversation. You know, so we could do that to say what new thing based on the article either was confirmed or something new that you learned from that. So using activities like that keep the process going, so you're not just standing and delivering, but there's interaction throughout. Oh, it keeps. Okay. There's also a 21st century learning video that my guess is it will not work. But if it doesn't, let me know, because that is directly out of the module. And the modules are password protected because they are on Michigan Virtual. And people can earn scotches for them. And so it needed to go through a process. But I go back and I reuse all of the materials out of there on a regular basis and use them within, because it depends on my group what I'm going to actually focus on. So, again, continued, what is the implication for assessment? How is it being misused today? How can we become more assessment literate to help stop these practices? So, and then they created a, again, this one was on 21st century classrooms. So each team developed a, what should a 21st century classroom look like in our district? So then they designed posters, and then we did a gallery walk around with that. As you know, I talked about the administrative team. I talked about the non-tenure team. Those were just two, but we also had the elementary team. We had a literacy team. So there were many of these cogs going at the same time throughout the year. So I started with the administrators in different ways the first couple of years I was there, and then started with the build in teacher leaders, and then we started with all teachers in various forms, and then the small community of practice. So I had a lot of these things. I just felt like I was in a circus all the time. Which one am I doing today? Because I didn't use the same things for each of the groups. I had so many materials available to me, I didn't need to do that. So now it's a time for action planning for you. I want you to just take a second, because I know it's lunchtime, and I will not keep you past the time. And so I need to look at what time we're supposed to end here, because I will adhere to that. It goes to 11:35, so we have 15 minutes, and there's a few things that we're still going to do yet, but I want you to take a minute to write down a couple of ideas that we did, you heard, you saw, whatever that might be, as your next steps. Because if I have a list, I get them done. If I say, oh yeah, I'll do that tomorrow, tomorrow never comes. So take a moment and just jot a few ideas down of what you're currently doing and what are some new things you could add to that. So it's two things, your current thing and what else did you learn that maybe you could add to it. When we're done with that, we're going to have you team up and find, you know, groups of fives and talk about some of the things you're already doing in your district. Because all of you are doing something. This isn't about me standing up here. It's about learning from one another. So how can we share those things? If we can do it by just having people volunteer, or we can get up and move in groups. What do you prefer? Just somebody volunteer? Raise your hand if you want that. Or if you want to move in groups and small groups to talk. Or how many of you just want to go to lunch and let me out of here? So this is for you. It's not for me. It's the planning. So do you want to just have people volunteer and share out? All right, we'll do that. I do the same things with my administrators. So you guys get to decide. I can wait. I have plenty of time. So it was my motto in my classroom. We have plenty of time. I can outwait anyone. When I worked at Kent ISD, my consultants would say, you will be here a long time because she'll wait for an answer. I think that was my EI teaching background. So anyway, I want you to take a couple minutes, just write a couple things down, and then we'll have a couple minutes to share out. So.
How much time do you have when you were working on some of those? So it looked like you had 2 days. So your first day was a full day.
With the administrators?
Yes.
After I did many sessions of just an hour sessions multiple times, then we brought people together, and we actually did a two-day because we brought the teacher leaders in as well. So they both had kind of different things, and then we brought them together.
So you started with the administrators on just blurps.
Blurps, okay. Yep. And then how does this work with this? How does this work with this? So my first 2 years was really just the administrators because you can't lead what you don't understand. So the other ones were, like my community of practice, were two-hour sessions with a little dinner piece in there. So they were quick, short, but then I could follow up. Yeah?
I know you made a comment about, like, not everybody makes a good mentor.
Yes.
And one of the things I was thinking of, like, because I'm the assistant principal at our school, and I know sometimes whenever we have other teachers as mentors, they seem to work better than when I am. So the thing that was crossing my mind when you said that was perhaps it's because I do observations, so they have that maybe intimidating effect. Like
I have to do what she tells me because she's evaluating me.
Because, you know, and I've had, like, one particular teacher that's really having a hard time, but it really has nothing to do, like, doesn't want me even around, which I think is totally intimidating. So, but I didn't know if there was any other examples that you had also in terms of when mentors, is it like their personalities, is it based on subject matter, like, I don't know.
A lot of times it's left to the building principal, and they just said, who's the chair, who's this? But that may be your biggest naysayer, or it may be the best candidate. It could be one or somewhere in between. So we really have to look at, what do we want? Now that we've built some assessment literacy, are we using these individuals as our mentors so that they know that it's not something that just goes in the grade book? So that's where I'm talking about. Sometimes it strictly is, hey, I'm the most senior person. I get that because it's a paid position. So, but if it's an evaluation tied to it, anybody who's doing the observation, that sometimes makes it difficult as well. So.
When you were going through things, I was looking not just at assessment, but I was looking at, like, everything that I do with them. Like anything.
Exactly.
Because we're, unfortunately, always asking teachers to do things, whether it's an assessment or whether it's something new.
Instructional practice.
Exactly.
These are just an instructional practice.
I like how you said it takes something away, which would make them feel better, but sometimes there's way we can take something away. Like, I'm always thinking, like, well, what could we take away? Because most of everything they do, they kind of have to do. So it's like,
right. But what is something you could do to alter something you're already doing to make it even better? Yeah. Hey, I'm already trying this, but I realize from this, maybe I should be doing this instead of this. So it's not like you're leaving with an assignment, but you're going to pick what's important to you. So, all right, good. You're welcome. All right, let's thank our partners. And because my timer will be going off in just a couple minutes, which is 5 minutes before we end, in case there's any questions. But if we could just talk about maybe something that you might have taken away today or an idea that you're going to try back in your district, because it may have been a conversation around you or just within you, but other people here can learn from you as well. So if you're willing to share anything as simple as, I'm going to take this article, and somebody can use this, and I'm going to use it with this group. Anybody willing? Yes, thank you. Yep. And when it's time for interim assessment again. Again, if we don't balance what we have, we're going to keep doing the same thing and being frustrated. But there is a purpose for it. But if we don't understand why we do it, or we're not doing anything with the data, then it is a worthless task. And we're taking important instructional time away. So we have to get people to understand that. And we sometimes have to really alter our practices or the expectations that this is not where we spend our time, this is where we spend our time. When we have our interim assessments, what are we doing with the data? It's not an option not to do something with it. It's something that it's part of our balanced assessment system. So how do we use this and for what reasons? Be very direct. Thank you. Another suggestion, idea? I won't hold out on this. Go ahead, please. Good, thank you. Other ideas? Again, this is about sharing with one another. I hope you were able to gather some good information out of here. Let me just make sure I don't have anything else. This was our stop, jot, try to get some additional ideas. A reminder, we want you to leave with specific ideas to take with you to increase the assessment literacy skills of those around you. There's two slides in here, just when you're working with data groups. These are 8 considerations. I'm just going to turn this off because it's going to go off any moment. So, 8 considerations for establishing and promoting a strong data culture. This is one of the graphics that came out of the assessment learning module, using assessment data well. But are we doing these types of things? There's a great module as well on collaborative inquiry around your data. And again, using those materials, we actually used them last summer in our Assessment Learning Institute where people could come and learn. We used the module materials for all of our presentations that they could then just adapt and change to take back with them. But it gave them some ideas of what to do and what they could add in based on their own. But one of these things is creating that strong data culture. I put it over here on the side because sometimes it's hard to read. So it's the same information, but really building that strong data culture is important. And then 9 fundamental beliefs for an assessment data usage system. First of all, we have to believe that all children can learn. And we're still working on that with some people. All educators must be assessment literate, or things will continue to happen to us. We're going to make some decisions not based on the purpose of what it was developed for. Use proper tools to facilitate appropriate data use. We have people leading things that don't have the data background themselves. And that's okay. We can build that. as long as we know, we can build. Using data display guidelines, you know, data collection needs to be purposeful. Let's not just collect it because it's fun, or I am being evaluated on how many pieces I collect. Again, we don't collect it to just collect. Use, not misuse it. And then appropriate data is a collaborative responsibility. We're all in this together. As education, if we're in this alone, it's a mighty long venture. But we need to make sure our data assessments are accurate and analyzed appropriately. So if you have any more questions, you need ideas, again, I'm semi-retired. I do this because I believe in it, not because I get paid to do this. It's something I feel very strongly in. And so if there is something I can do, except for next week, I'll be on a cruise since I am semi-retired. And I just got a notice that there's no electricity at our house, which means my elderly mom who lives down the street probably doesn't have electricity, is probably freaking out because I'm not there. But all shall pass. So please contact me if you get an out-of-district message or if it takes me a couple of days, since I am semi-retired. I don't check my email every 5 minutes, which is really kind of nice. So I wish you well. I thank you for being here. And if you have any individual questions, I'm happy to stick around to answer them. So thanks for your attention.